This is Guildcast, episode 46, for September 19th, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, Lady Sinea, Solero, and I have gotten together to try out a new call-in show of sorts, in addition to our normal email Q&A show on Skype. We ended up getting about a half dozen people or so to call in and ask us some questions. I think it went fairly smooth, with some minimal technical problems, as you'll hear, I'm sure. I had no clue how many people would call in, so I can't say if this really exceeded my expectations or not, but I was happy overall with everything, and I look forward to doing another one like this again. I'll play that part of the show in a second, but first I wanted to go over a few notes that I had. Some people who wanted to be mentioned this week include Perfectus Alhazard, Jesse THM, and Thorax the Impaler. I also wanted to mention something about this week's theme song. Since I started Guildcast, I've used songs that I found myself on GarageBand, but this week I'm using a song that was recommended to me by a guildie, a Lucian, who I mentioned last week also. It's actually his brother's band, and with the song title of Q&A, I thought it was more than appropriate for this week. So I'll put a link to their website on the show notes for today if you want to learn more about them. Now, as for game updates, there have actually been quite a few that have been made in preparation for the upcoming Nightfall. I'll go over some of the major ones since they're so significant. First off, on Thursday, September 14th, they made it possible to map the UW, the Catacombs, and Fissure of Woe using the U key. Previously, this wasn't available, so this adds a whole new level to those high-end explorable areas. They also did some GVG changes, such as they added knights to guard the Guild Lord, and they made victory or death occur at 20 minutes now. This update was also a major skill update, including many buffs, most notably to the assassin. Then on Friday, September 15th, they expanded the mapping that they did the day before to include all previously unmappable areas, like Dragon's Throat, Scarred Earth, Sorrow's Furnace, the Courtyard, the Deep, the Dragon's Lair, Hall of Heroes, the Undercity, and Urgaz's Warren, where previously it only showed black. They've also introduced the beginning of something pretty huge regarding our character's features. Turns out they're working on making cutscenes and cinematics for Nightfall with lip-synced character animation, so they've done some technical upgrades to make the mouths able to be animated. I think at first many people objected to the changes, since they were fairly drastic on a few certain faces, but they've been working on smoothing those things out and trying their best to make them look like they did before. Personally, I didn't notice too much of a difference. I know some of the pictures that I saw on GuildWarsGuru.com were pretty drastic, especially like the female Ellie. There's one of the faces, the lips were really puffed out, but I think they've worked on fixing that. And I'm hoping that the lip syncing doesn't turn out to be a joke like the voice acting was in Factions. I would rather see them pool their resources towards something like game mechanics or features of gameplay itself than bothering with animated mouths and cutscenes that most people skip anyway, you know? But hey, that's just my opinion. Going along with this, I recently released a new video this week. It's something I've wanted to do for a while, ever since I first saw the faction cinematics and I thought, wouldn't it be funny to dub my voice over these voices and make something more entertaining? So, I put together my first Guildcast Theater, Episode 1, Minister Cho's Estate. You can find a link to the video on the main Guildcast.com page under Video Gallery, and it's also up on YouTube.com if you do a search for Guildcast. Also this week, there's a press release from ArenaNet, originally from September 12th. And it says, announced today by ArenaNet, developer of the wildly popular franchise Guild Wars, the studio's latest game, Guild Wars Nightfall, will make its debut in a massive event open to anyone and everyone who would like to play. The event will take place September 22, 2006, beginning at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time and running through September 24, 2006 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The Guild Wars Nightfall World Preview event will feature previews of the new environments, new missions, and new battle arenas. The event will allow players to create Nightfall-specific characters from the six core professions, as well as the two new Nightfall professions, the Dervish and the Paragon, and you'll be able to try out new Nightfall skills. The entire Istani province of the new realm Ilona will be open for player exploration, and players will be able to view the first Nightfall in-game cinematics. In addition, two new arenas will make their debut, the Sunspear Arena and the Churanu Island. For an added bonus, the November 2006 issue of PC Gamer magazine, due in stores a week before the event, boasts a Guild Wars Nightfall cover story and includes an access key for an exclusive in-game Grey Giant miniature. The Grey Giant will be usable during the World Preview event and then may be reactivated with a Guild Wars Nightfall account upon release. Now, I went out and I got this issue of PC Gamer last week. Not really for the mini pet code, but more for the article itself. And I have to say, if you haven't picked it up yet, go check it out. I originally was planning on talking more about that article on this episode, but it's literally too much to even discuss here. There's pages and pages of information, and there's pictures, stats, just everything. I talk a little bit more about it during our Skype recording, but basically, to wrap up the article, Nightfall is going to rock so hard. I remember the excitement over factions at first, just mainly because it was the first new chapter of Guild Wars. But after seeing how factions fared among many people and how it didn't quite measure up to the greatness of Prophecies, I honestly think Nightfall will do what factions should have done in the first place. And just today, as I'm getting ready to record this, ArenaNet has announced more specific details on Nightfall. I won't read the entire announcement because it's so long, but I will put a link to it in today's show notes. And I'll go over a few of the major key points that I found pretty exciting. Of course, they talk about the new customizable heroes, which I'll discuss more later during our Skype conversation, but also they talk about skill updates. Nightfall brings 350 new player skills to the game, including brand new skills for the six core professions and the factions professions. Additionally, Nightfall debuts the brand new skill and attributes panel, which will be your one-stop menu for customizing your character and heroes for the battlefield. A new template system will allow you to save your own custom builds for every contingency. Amen. This is what I've wanted for a long, long time. Bless you, ArenaNet. And then get this. You'll be able to take your customized heroes into PvP battle. These hero versus hero battles will let you pit your character and up to three heroes in a one-on-one PvP competition against other players. Hello, new Guildcast one-on-one contests. Some other key points they mention: there will be 20 new missions. Ilona is split into three provinces: Istin, Korna, and Vabi, if I'm pronouncing those right. Oh, and they show new animations of the new dances for the female Dervish and the male Paragon. I am about to check those out in 1 minute. They're actually downloading right now. That's how new this news is. Plus, they go over everything that's included in the Collector's Edition and the pre-release pack. So definitely go check that out. It's on the you can either check it out on the GuildWars.com main page, or I'll put a link to it on the show notes for today. And since next weekend will be the preview event weekend, expect episode 47 to be released as late in the week as this one was, since we'll be recording a conversational show describing our opinions on the whole event, and since it takes me a little while to edit these shows. So, without further ado, here it is, the call-in show. And I wanted to thank everyone who called in and talked with us, and I hope you all had fun. Enjoy. Okay, So far, we just have me and Lady Sinea, and Solero will be coming a little bit later, but we're going to go ahead and take some calls right now, since one person has contacted me already. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing? This is Lem.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, you're our first caller now, so we're going to see how many mistakes
Excellent.
We make while we work the bugs out on this. So how you doing?
I'm good. I thought I'd drop in and say hello and remind everyone to come help with the wiki, because it's going good.
Yeah.
And just thought I'd ask you two what else you would like to see on the wiki, really.
Well, personally, like I said in the forums, I think that you've already gone past my expectations on that. All the things you've done on that is just amazing. So I mean, I guess expanding on what's already there, but I mean, you've done so much on there so far, it blows my mind.
That's nice, now.
Yeah, the formatting looks great.
I mean, what you really need to tell everyone is, I mean, I pretty much taught myself all that since I started doing it. I'd never edited a wiki before I started doing that one, so it's pretty easy, really, if you kind of read the instructions on the actual main wiki site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I haven't done yet, reading the instructions, but but I'm thankful that you've gone through and learned it.
I'd like to add to the end of each episode anything where, like, a list of inaccurate information or mistakes that we made while we were talking on the show, or maybe changes, updates of things that are no longer the case because there have been later updates after that show.
Yeah, I could see how that would be useful. Also, what would be nice is if some people went back and added some more information for the early episodes, because the articles on them are very small at the moment.
Yes. I'm still transcribing. I'm transcribing the conversation part of the monk episode, and it's taking forever.
Yeah, I read that. I thought you'd finished it, and then you added, like, a whole chunk more on.
It's not even done yet.
It's massive, really.
It's a lot harder than you think when you sit down.
Yeah. It's interesting transcribing, though, because you really get a feel for everybody's speaking styles.
I guess you just love listening to loud and early, don't you?
No!
I think that's it, yeah.
That, or you must be just sick of his voice by now.
I was sick of his voice before I started doing it.
And I thought it was funny how you put the little iterations in there, like when I say or when I change subjects in the middle of a sentence and you put like a dash. I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, I didn't write every time we say because that would just fill up a whole page. But anytime there was actual words, I said that, because we will repeat a word when we're stop in the middle of a sentence and continue.
What
but I didn't write
is,
all the uhs.
Yeah.
You should count every time you say and have a little count at the end. Just a little added bonus.
You have, important facts for each episode of Guildcast. Number of times that Sean said, Number of times that Sinea said, like.
Yeah, that could have its own page, I think.
Yeah, I'll work on that one.
Well, we got another guy asking to come on now, so thanks for calling in, Lem, and thanks for all the work on the wiki, especially.
You're welcome. I look forward to hearing the show tomorrow. I've got a boring day tomorrow, so hopefully it'll be up and ready by the time I get to work tomorrow.
probably not, but it'll probably be Tuesday, but we'll see.
Okay, well, have a good day, guys.
Alright, take care.
See ya.
Hey, what's up, Muffin Man?
Not much. Just wanted to say, first of all, good job with the show.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and I just wanted to share with you guys a little PvP build that I've been working on for a couple months now. If you guys have been playing long enough to remember the Paladin build, which was a cookie-cutter build that you could select at the start with the PvP-only character select screen, and the skills that were used were Sever Artery, Gash, Galarath Slash, Final Thrust, Mending, Healing Hands, and Res Sig. and I modified it so that you would get your swordsmanship level up as high as possible to 16, and you would use the duelist helm and a superior swordsmanship rune, and then you would use a vampiric sword hilt and plus 30 health. So at the beginning you would cast mending, and it would do some really a lot of damage to low armor targets. Like I was experimenting in the place where you can hit the dummies, and I got up to 125 damage with final thrust on an armor 60. So it's pretty good for PvP. And but the great thing about this build is that it's extremely versatile, because you can switch around the skills for different situations. Like, instead of using healing hands, you can actually replace that with battle rage, and that'll double your adrenaline and also increase your speed by 25%. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Okay,
just wanted
cool.
to share that with you guys.
Is that the build that you were just using in our alliance battle? Like,
yep, that's
half an hour
it.
Ago?
Uh-huh.
Now, what about, don't you get your enchantment of your mending removed pretty quickly? Because I was using Vigorous Spirit, and it kept getting taken off, and I kept getting hit for damage for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that is a problem sometimes, which is why if you're going into, usually when I go into an alliance battle, I would change over to the Battle Rage, because that can't be stripped, so. But,
okay.
Yeah, mending still gets stripped from time to time, but, I mean, it's really not that much of a problem. If you're wearing Gladiator's armor, you can pretty much recast it right away, because most of your skills are adrenaline-based, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're giving away all your trade secrets, huh?
yeah, I'm probably gonna have to go back to the drawing board, I guess. All right, so, thanks for your
all
time,
right, cool.
guys.
Thanks for calling in.
Great, thanks.
Take care.
Yep, see ya.
Bye.
Okay, we have me, Lady Sinea, Solero.
Someone's, like, too close to their microphone or something.
That would be the Shadow Blade. We have the Shadow Blade and Shining Haze, or Shining Shield.
Whatever.
Wow. We're maxed out.
Wait.
We're hardcore.
The dude close.
I can hear everybody, except Shining Shield, you're a little bit quiet.
Yeah, my dog chewed on my mic.
your dog chewed on your mic.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse.
That'll do it. Hey, we're like Twit now or something.
Twit?
Doing the Twit.
This week in tech.
Okay. So.
Now, Sean, you have to say, I've got the Guildcast army behind me.
Yeah, and then when I hang up, I gotta say, another Guildcast is in the can.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Neither do I.
That's alright.
Neither do I.
We're entertaining ourselves.
Okay, so, my question is, when are you guys ever gonna mention GBG on the show?
Oh! Well, it's a good thing you ask, actually. Because not next week, but the week after, we're going to talk about GVG. See, I've got...
We are?
Like, yeah. I need to send a revised list to you guys. But I have... Okay, next week we're going to talk about the PvE preview event, and which is a given. But then the week after that, I have written down Guild Halls and GVG, where I'm going to talk about... the different guild halls, what they do, things like that, and then we're going to talk about GVG also. So, should be about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Also, going an offshoot of the scheduled programming, I was also planning, since the new season was coming up, to kind of base some things off of, like, the matches and such of that nature, where I was doing... little updates at the end of each of mine to go along with the ladder positions and all that kind of good stuff, and
yeah.
All the different updates, how they have to do with how Nightfall is coming into the new season and how people are incorporating that into the ladder. Since I started kind of mid-season, I didn't want to go into that until a new season was up. because I thought it'd be more interesting if we started from the beginning instead of starting in the middle.
Yes, that's true.
Like, maybe that was just me, but I just thought it would be a cool idea, kind of play-by-play commentary, like, who's doing what, and, like, specific names of players and stuff that go from team to team in each matches and stuff like that. Like, probably about, like, Wednesday or Thursday of each week, I was going to observe a couple of matches.
That's cool.
So we'll be, like, ESPN or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just...
Doesn't Guildcast Listeners United have some GBG planned?
We did. Yeah.
Kind of fell through.
Yeah, there were like three people on and none of them wanted to do it, so.
But
somebody's really breathing the microphone really heavy. Is that a... I don't know which one of you guys it is.
I think
that's Blade.
Oh.
I think it's probably me here.
I can't hear myself.
Well, I actually put together a GVG build that uses all pre-made characters, and it's on GuildWiki. It's still in progress, sort of, but I don't know. Just a thing, because I know, like, last time we tried to do it, it was really hard because people didn't have the unlocks, but with this, they're all pre-made, so you just need the people.
Well, yeah, that's good if we can just use pre-mates, because, I mean, the last time we went, I mean, we just kind of all threw a group together, and I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, if you want to look at it, it's actually the only GVG team built on GuildWiki right now.
Oh, okay. We wanted to try GVG with Guildcast Listeners United, but I don't think a lot of the people that are in it now are really interested in it that much, because a few people have said they are. On, you know, I put a post in the forums asking, and I think like four people responded, but that's not enough. So I don't know.
And unfortunately, you need to have a certain number of people that are all in your guild to have it be able to initiate the battle. Even if we get like a bunch of alliance members all together, there still needs to be what, like four from your guild.
Because it has to be half your team. Just like in Heroes Ascent, it won't recognize it as a guild team unless there's, I believe, at least four members of the team in your guild, and they all have to be in the top four slots as well.
Yeah, so the last time we did it, we actually had one of my guys leave my guild and join yours just so it would look like there was enough people.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just hold it really close and you guys get to hear me breathing.
Your breathing is louder than you're talking.
Alright, my question is... Okay, I have a friend, and... Alright, we got him into Guild Wars, like, hey, why don't you play Guild Wars? So he bought it, and he bought factions, but he doesn't like play at all. So I was just wondering, what would be a good way to, you know, get him into it without... Because he gets frustrated at PvE, and with PvP, he's not really good enough. So, have any suggestions on how to get him into it?
Is he playing just factions, or does he have both?
Well, at the moment, he doesn't play at all, but he has both games.
Start a character
What does he get frustrated about in the PvE?
Like, well, I guess he tries to do it with all henchies, and he just dies. And then he rage quits. He rage quits the henchies. Like,
yeah, I've seen that emote recently. A lot. Oh, no,
Have you played?
It depends on what areas he's playing. Because a lot of areas are really easily henched in when you first start a character in Prophecies.
Well, I guess my question is more of how to get him into PvP more. Like, would Alliance battles, do you think that would be a good segue to...
Yeah, actually, I've been Alliance battling a lot, and I really like it because you are... there's certain objectives, and it's kind of like PvP, but not, and it's really easy to start getting into it from that.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention
battles are insane. I was never going to be PvPing, and now I've been Alliance battling all the time.
See, that's actually how I worked it with my friends. There's been a couple of people who I tried to get to go through random and team arena, so they'd go to Heroes Ascent because they bought the game late or whatever. And it was kind of weird that way because we started doing them, getting them into alliance battles, me and one of my friends. And from that, like, he loved the pace of it. So, like, he forced himself to go through random and team arenas just to get the Heroes Ascent with us because he was so excited about it. And, like, alliance battles are a good segue because they're a lot more relaxed than your normal Heroes Ascent team. There's not really any forced build you have to do. It's just like, what could work well together, and let's put it together and go. It's not like, oh, well, you have to do this because the team is this or whatever. It's just more pick up and play friendly than Heroes Ascent.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
Also, if you decide to try to get him through PvE, like, start a character right when he starts his and play together, like, all the time, because I got my friends through the story mode pretty much that way in Kanta.
I don't think I can bear to go through again. It's just... I recently tried to do that again, and I just failed. Like, couldn't take all the henchmen and all the pugs.
Oh, I know.
Just rage quit it. Actually, I didn't. But I ended up just buying whatever I was trying to get. Actually, I was trying to farm the end game greens. I just bought the amulets. So, that was the better option, I think, anyways.
Yeah, farming the end game greens.
You'll have no argument from me. Oh. Okay, cool, guys. It was good talking to you.
For sure.
Yeah, thanks for the questions.
Sean, I also wanted to say that your last... the last video was great.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was like red versus blue status quality. If you know what that is, it's a good machinography, whatever you call it.
Red versus blue is great.
Well, thank you. I don't know. That thing kind of burned me out almost on doing that. It was a lot harder than I thought.
Did you do all the voices?
Yeah. I just changed the pitch in Audacity.
Oh, because Togo didn't sound like you at all.
that was me.
Oh, so that wasn't you just talking into the microphone? You changed the pitch, actually, in your voice program?
I went through, like, I wrote a script, I recorded each person's part, then I changed the pitch on that whole part, then I recorded the next person's part, and changed the pitch on theirs, and then I mixed them together to sync with the video, and that was insane. That was absolutely insane. It was really hard. It took me like one day. I worked on capturing the video, writing it, recording my voice, everything like that. And then it took 3 days to sync them up together. It was crazy. But I might do it again.
I think I'll stick with my music videos.
But they're talking about they're going to make synced cutscenes now with lip synced.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They changed the phases to support that feature.
That's okay, it'll just look like a badly dubbed Japanese movie, which is, Factions kind of fits that theme.
That might actually be more humorous.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt that'll be very entertaining to watch. I probably won't skip them now, I just want to watch to laugh.
No,
Sean, you should just talk, you should have your recording program open at the same time as watching the video. And do all the voices exactly in time, and then just select that section and change the pitch on.
Yeah, that's what I'll have to do.
As you go through, then you won't have to mix them.
That's what I'll have to do this time. That was way too difficult last time. Yeah. What I wanted to do was originally start at the beginning.
It turned out great, though.
Yeah. That's why I started out with Minister Chose Estate, because I wanted to start at the beginning and go through each one. But... That's a lot of work. I don't know.
Just do the funniest ones.
I know there's a couple in there that are pretty humorous. Just even with the regular speech.
Yeah.
Alright. So,
I have another question.
Okay, you have one more question?
Whoa, I think somebody has another question.
What rank?
No more questions.
What rank is Shadows and Eyes Guild?
Oh.
What?
He asked, what rank is our guild?
Little plug.
That's what he asked.
No one would know that but you.
Yeah, I don't understand. Anyways, it's like rank 50 or so.
That's pretty cool.
Oh.
Just to say,
guys are doing a dang good job.
Thank you to our guild. because they're cool, which is the Flying Butt Monkeys.
Yeah. This is a new guild?
I do not support... our old guild disbanded, so we just kind of joined our old guild.
See, I've seen a couple of the guilds like that I helped start, and like I see them like in the top 100s or so, and it's kind of like, oh, well, that stinks. I was an officer of that, but like, I don't know. It would be cool to like be one of those, but we're going to put together hopefully a consistent team coming up here instead of just slamming teams together all the time and like come up with that pretty soon here. So,
or anybody some people who put together a halls group and then leave. Solaro.
cough.
Funny.
Okay, we have one more guy who wants to call in here. So you guys right. have taken more than enough time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool
thank
talking you to you guys.
For, yeah,
bye.
It was
good talking.
Yeah,
to you.
Thanks for calling in.
And keep up the good work with Guildcast because it's quality. All right.
Take care.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, it's Junkmaster.
Hi, Junk.
How's it going?
It's going
pretty good.
Good.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
So the gang's all here. Fire away.
Well, let me ask you experts a question.
Oh.
Because I haven't heard this yet, but do you think Nightfall is going to be more like prophecies or more like factions?
Well, they've been saying that they want to keep doing new, innovative things and always keep the game interesting by changing things. So I think that there are going to be different elements, but, you know, using still the same basic workable format.
Plus, you know, I've heard that that Nightfall is going to wrap up the storyline that's been consistent in factions and prophecies. So I think after Nightfall, they might start a new storyline, from what I've heard.
That would be cool. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I think it was in that PC Gamer article, I think. I know I read it somewhere.
I didn't read anything about it. I didn't go look to see what the article said.
Yeah, it must be in there, because I haven't read that yet, so...
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty interesting, though.
But from what I hear, personally, like, I think that Nightfall, from what I've seen, at least, in, like, the trailers and, like, the teasers and all that, that it's going to be more of a mix, in my opinion, of the two games. Because it's going to have those weird new PvP elements, but it's going to have a better story, at least from what I've seen, in my opinion, than... Cantha, which really I've heard it all before from the faction storyline. I've played Jade Empire. Like, it's the same thing. Like, I didn't need it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, then again, like, all Kung Fu movies all have the same premise, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true.
Some warrior goes haywire and gets angry at everybody and then just starts killing folk, like. Okay.
Yeah, that's of course after the whole world is beating down.
Yeah.
And then the hero has all of its family killed or something like that, and then they have to go and defeat the bad guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And don't forget about his sensei, you know. Gotta take him out
of
first.
Of course. Yes, yes. But I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yay, something new.
New stuff.
This annoys the crap out of me, though, because I just got my 15k Cuz armor for my warrior, and now, Nightfall. Ugh.
Armor is the never-ending battle.
We'll get to see some new armor.
Oh, great. As if Junk doesn't have enough armor.
The new Fall line of armor is coming up.
Hey, he's only got 4 sets. Come on. Well, cool. Well, thanks for the call in.
Well, thanks for the question.
Letting me be with the cool peeps. Well, you guys carry on and keep up the good work.
All right. Take care, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Junk.
Thanks. See ya.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Well, let me start with this first one. Back from... July 25th, which isn't too bad. I think last time we did an email show, we had a backlog.
July?
It's the end of July, the 25th.
Do you know what month it is, Sean?
January? Okay, so this first email, I touched on it a little bit on the last show, where it was the one talking about how he doesn't like how I'm giving my opinion. This is it's a pretty good email, and it's a pretty good-sized email. So I wanted to just read. He does say, you know, a lot about how he loves the show, and he's been listening since number 3, and he looks forward to new episodes. So he gives a lot of props, I guess you could say. But I wanted to read a little bit of this, because I don't really agree with any of it, and I wanted to read it and then address it, and then see what you guys thought about it.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, firstly, I was very much looking forward to your recent edition of a PvP segment of the podcast, and I must say that Solero seems very knowledgeable. However, I'm disappointed that his segment of the show is balanced against whatever the show topic is that week. For instance, in your last show, he spoke about the show topic of weapon mods and PvP, and while this is all good, it is hardly worth a separate segment of the show. Surely a PvP expert could be giving us more in-depth knowledge about builds in HA or tactics for specific maps within it. And he goes on to say, something a little more worthy of his knowledge and more useful to those of us who listen to your show and are more experienced players. With so many PvP builds out there and the constant changes of builds in PvP, there's much on this subject to tell us about.
Yes, Solero, what's your problem?
Well, I wanted to say real quick that the way we have it set up is, you know, I told you, recommended to you to do your segment along with the topic of the week. So that's not really your choice. That was something that I suggested to you. And he does say further on that Lady Sinea's Word of the Street segment used to cover general information about the game that she had noticed that week, a useful all-purpose section of the podcast. But again, as of late, the segment relates back to the show topic, so tends to cover all the same points we've already heard. Well, that, again, is the same thing, where that's something that I've suggested to you that you do, so that we keep it all together in one topic. You know, that's why we have a theme, you know, and I think, I don't really agree with him that he's thinking that that's a bad thing, because I think it's actually a good thing. So what do you guys think?
Well, as you said when we first talked, that it was a suggestion that if I could stay on topic, I would. And I was actually planning on doing a random arena map breakdown, per se, for the Greens episode. But as you said before on the forums and such, that was not possible because of my other obligations. Like, I'm still going for that thing later on down the line when there isn't something I can talk about. But as you said, I think kind of having that centralized theme helps kind of bring everything together. And it makes it a little bit easier on the listeners. They don't have to, like, jump from topic to topic, and things don't get jumbled up in, say, if I cover a topic in PvP that could have been covered in another show, I don't do that.
Haven't I always stuck with a topic?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only thing I can think of that he may be talking about is when we first started doing it, I would listen to your segment first before I recorded my segment, and then I would change things. But now lately it's been where I've recorded my segment before I get yours, and then I'll add yours in. So sometimes we might overlap in things we've talked about.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really see that so much as a bad thing. There's one line in here that I completely disagree with. And I'm not saying anything bad about this guy. You know, he really... This is a really long email, and I didn't read all of it. But he really did give us a lot of positives. But he says this one line where he says, "Your podcast is for the players, is it not? And should not be affected by personal opinions." Now, that I completely disagree with, because like I've said before, that, you know, I'm not sponsored by ANET. I'm not doing anything as anything but my personal opinion. You know, I started this up to give my take on how things are doing in the game, and that's why I brought you two on also, to bring different perspectives. So we have three opinions here, and I think that's what makes the show. And I think if I was to take away the opinions, what would we, you know, it wouldn't be a podcast. It would be you know, a cut and dry radio show or something like that. And that's the beauty of podcasts, is you can do and you can say whatever you want to do and say, and you don't have any restrictions.
Exactly. Like, it's more like a magazine, in my opinion, like an e-zine or something, just audio.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I'm really enjoying the introduction of some new opinion that you've been throwing in there, Sean, because yours in the past has always been very, very cut and dry. This is the facts and information, which is, of course, always helpful, and you don't want to remove that from the show. But, for instance, your explanation of how you sold out your family name and everything like that when creating an assassin just had me laughing. Or if you want to talk about glyphy glyphs, then that's cool with me too.
Yeah, I think I'm just getting more comfortable with it. But maybe that's what he's talking about. It's kind of changed in the last maybe, you know, 5-7 shows.
Couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I don't want to dwell on that too long. I just wanted to touch on that real quick because I did talk about it last week too. But okay, so this next one. Okay, this one I was going to talk about, but we actually talked about it with The Shining Shield and Shattered Blade, where he asks when we're going to talk about GVGs and guild halls. And like I said, we'll be doing that pretty soon. So I'll skip over that one.
Okay.
And then we have another one from a guy who... we get a lot of these emails about 55 monking. It seems to be a huge topic. And I know we've covered it before. Actually, we've covered it in a couple shows. But he wants to know, he says, he wants a few pointers. He says, first of all, we've all been too lazy to go cap the elite skill Shield of Judgment. So we're looking around our skills for a similar skill. And we found Balthazar's Aura. But whenever we use it in place of Shield of Judgment, nearly all the monsters run away, so the skill doesn't affect them. We were wondering if we're doing something wrong. If so, please tell us, or is there some other skill that SOJ, that could make SOJ work in SOJ's place? And secondly, we were wondering what the weapon of choice is for the 55 monk. And I know you actually talked about that before, but he says he doesn't want to use the totem axe. So what do you recommend?
Why not?
Oh, no, no, wait, wait. He says, I personally use a totem axe. Yeah.
Oh.
But a lot of people say they use other weapons. So he wants to know if there's an alternate to the totem axe.
I'm using the katana that I got at the end game of Factions, but the mods that I put on it, I found, so they didn't cost me very much, but apparently if you were to buy it all, it would be pretty expensive. But to answer this question about Balthazar's aura, the reason that the enemies are running away is because it says the foes adjacent to the target ally take holy damage each second. So because of that, it's hitting them every second, so it's starting to act like an AoE, and that's what's causing them to run away. So there's no way to get around that. That skill is always going to do that.
Looks like he's going to have to go cap Shield of Judgment.
Also, another problem is you're playing a 55 and not a 600. That could also be kind of a problem.
Well, how does that make any difference?
Oh, I just have me and a lot of people I play with, personally, we favor the 600. Just because we think, well, I think and they think, it's just a better build all around. But that could be coming from the famine and the SS instead of the actual monk. But in our experiences, there's a little more breathing room with the build. Plus, he says Shield of Judgment. I'd like to know, the Spellbreaker is what they need to cap if they really want to, like, do some weird stuff with this. Because that's the underworld. And I don't think you can actually use Shield of Judgment in the Underworld build, if I'm not mistaken.
No, because you need Spellbreaker.
Mm.
And you can't carry the two elites at the same time.
Yep.
Though there are some ways... You might be able to get around it, because if you take like a 55 Necro, and you're bringing Spiteful Spirit, you don't have Spellbreaker with you. I think you just have to be able to kill the Nightmares quick enough. That causes problems, though, if more than one spawns at the same time. You've got to kill them fast before they strip all your enchantments. So maybe there's a way to do a solo Underworld build without Spellbreaker.
It'd be hard, though.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Your comment about that has nothing to do with Balthazar's Aura, though.
No, I'm a favoritist at heart. I'm not going to lie. I play favorites in this game like
just
I play every game.
Personal preference. This next one we have is from Brother Apathy. And let me see. I don't think I read... Okay, the last one is from the Galrath Monk. I forgot to mention that. Anyway, this next one is from Brother Apathy. And he says, let's see. Just emailing to say a strong amen to your comments on the latest show. And this is from September 7th, so that's not too far back. I really do prefer it if you or anyone else puts their opinions into stuff. Otherwise, it's just boring facts and figures. So this relates back to the other email. I really love your show, and it's getting better every week. Keep it up. I found out about Guildcast about 2 months ago, and now I've listened to all but the oldest of your episodes. Let me say, don't waste your time. They're horrible.
No!
I've been playing Guild Wars for about 3 months now, but have only kept to one character, over 220 hours on his clock. Since I really don't see the point in starting a new PvE character when it takes so long. Oh yeah, just a quick comment on the new PvP unlock packs. I can see why ArenaNet made them. Since there are no subscription fees, they need all the money they can get. But it really takes strongly away from the role-playing aspect of PvP, where you need to play more to unlock more skills. Also, I like Solero's idea about a title for people who buy skill sets, but I don't think that they should be branding on them, more as branding on players who don't. For example, a title on how many Balthazar faction you've gotten overall, or a title on how long you've been playing for the hours.
That would be cool.
He brings up some good
points. How much Balthazar faction that you've accumulated. That would be a cool title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think the thing with the hours, though, people would just leave the game on.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's not a good
idea. Go to work
idea.
And school and just leave it on.
That's what happened with the Unlucky and Lucky titles, so I don't see why it wouldn't happen for that title.
Yeah.
I'd do it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I would too.
But also, I agree, because if there's a person, if you just buy all of your skills, then you have like this huge like list of skills that you can choose from now. How are you going to decide which ones you're going to use and put together? But if you start accumulating them slowly and use a few of them here and there, you get a feel for what you like to play, do you like the skill, and things like that. And if you just get it all at once, it's like, I don't know, like having a 10-course meal and not knowing what to eat first.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you do, when you go to cap skills, you remember them more. Like, you remember, okay, I got to go get this skill because it does this. And then, you know, you go out and you look for capping these skills, and you look for certain skills. And that's unless you're just going out and capping all the skills at once. But if you know you need this skill, you go out and cap it, you work towards it, and you get that skill. And then you'll remember what it does, you remember, you know, how you got it, and you remember why you got it, and things like that. But if you just buy them, it's exactly like you said. You'll be, you know, what does this one do again? Or, you know, it won't have the same kind of impact on your memory, I guess.
Even just your regular skills as you accumulate them.
Yeah, through quests and all that.
So, I mean, I think it's actually in a person's best interest to learn the skills like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I actually got reprimanded a little bit because one of my friends that's in my guild, he hasn't had as much time to play as he would like, and he had to buy the skill packs because he still wants to PvP with me and with a couple of our other friends and stuff, and he had to buy them. And I've still gotten on his case about it, and I still won't stop getting on his case about it, but it's kind of like he was forced to because of time restraints.
And yes.
That's kind of a thing. But still, if that backpedaling thing worked where it was like, if you did something, you got noted for it, that would kind of be in the best interests of the players, all in all.
Yeah, I've got a guildie who, I think he bought the Mesmer pack, and I'm not going to rag on him for it. But
yeah, see, the only reason I would even consider buying a PvP pack is, and I think you're in the same boat, where you have two accounts, and on my second account, I have a Ranger, Elementalist, and Assassin, and I've unlocked all the skills for those classes on that account. So my main account, I don't have all these skills
but
unlocked.
But not on your primary.
Yeah, so it would be nice to be able to play, say, a Ranger, and you know, and use the skills that I've already unlocked before. Well, now I can, you know, maybe buy them and throw them on this primary account. That's the only reason I think I would actually do it, but I don't see me doing it anytime soon.
Exactly. I've been unlocking Mesmer skills lately on my primary account, and that's pretty much the only PvP type of character that I've been rolling, because I've got most of the other ones on my main account.
All right, so moving along to the next one. This one is another suggestion for a show, and I'm reading this one because I actually do have it in the works. He says, have you ever done a podcast on farming? I think it would be a good to do general farming issues, like hot spots to farm, what you farm for at those spots, where are they, and things to bring, including builds and items, etc., for those spots. Now, I think that's a good idea. I think I did do... We've touched on farming before, especially on the... I believe it was the episode that you did by yourself, Sinea, where you talked about underworld farming with the 55 Monk. And I know in the underworld episode, I've also talked about farming a little bit. But to do one whole show, I think he brought up some good points, like what to bring and touch more on the spots themselves, specific spots. So...
A farming episode? That's like having a mission episode where what are you going to talk about? You're talking about everything?
Well, no. See, that's the thing. I would just talk about maybe the top, you know, three or so. But see, at the same time,
though... That's like a humongous topic.
Yeah, it is. No, I know. That's why I'm saying just like the top three or top five or whatever. But the thing about this is it's kind of a touchy subject because of the fact that there are gold farmers out there who have been banned, you know, and I don't want to promote anything that's against the, you know, in terms of service for ArenaNet. So I don't want to say, you know, anything that goes against that, but I guess it's in the way that you use the farming. You know, if you farm for gold to sell on eBay, that's wrong. If you farm for certain items or you farm for gold for yourself or whatever, that's, you know, that's a different story. So I think it's kind of a fine line deal there.
It's just a huge topic, though.
Yeah.
Not for me. Hero's Ascent.
Yeah.
End of Hero's Ascent. Crystalline sword. They're worth hundreds of K. I'm done.
Well, I guess there's fame farming in it.
Yeah, that's true. The old Iway.
Sigil farming.
Fame farming.
Yeah. So, this last one I got, this one was actually sent today, and it was sent to me and Lady Sinea. But I want to talk about it real quick. It's from Artful Dodger, and he says, how do you handle offensive players, i.e. sexual graphic comments, character abuse, leechers, and AB? Give us some techniques. This is, this could be...
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah, it is really good, but it could be... See, to me, personally, I don't really get into it with any of these things, because usually, for one, somebody else will say something to them, and mostly everybody else in the team will say something to them. And for number two, they do it for attention, so I'm not going to give them the attention. I usually just keep my mouth shut. Unless nobody else is saying anything and everybody else is going along with it, then I'll be like, hey, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. See, well, I've had before, starting up a group, and you've got people, you know, in your group before you start a mission or something, and say there's somebody who's being offensive in some way, I'll just kick them right away.
Yeah.
Before we start the mission.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because, like, that kind of stuff I don't have room for. Like, and in PvP, it happens a lot in the opposite way. They might not be being offensive in terms of language, but they'll be yelling and screaming and making fun of people. Especially in alliance battles, this happens a lot. Where it's like, everybody's got a cap, and like you hear the whole team yelling, and it's just filling up your chat channel, and it's like, I'll have to stop and say, like, guys, look, we know how to play the game, we don't have to yell and scream and be obnoxious, and it's just annoying.
Yeah, I think general annoyance is unavoidable. It's become to the point where I'm just, you know, getting immune to it, but specific things, like he mentioned, like sexual comments or, you know, racial or whatever, those are the things where it's just like, okay, you know. And if it, like you said, I didn't even think about if it's before you enter the mission. If it's before you enter the mission, of course, mm-hmm. I'm either leaving the group or something like that. But if it's during, a mission or during a battle, I just don't even want to give them the attention because that's what they need.
Yeah. Right. There was one in an alliance battle yesterday. I forget what the guy was saying, but he was like swearing at everyone because we weren't capping, or so he claimed. And I said, "Watch your mouth." And then someone else said, "What are you, his mother?" And I said, "Yes." And then they shut up.
See, that's what's great is when you can beat them at their own game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in games themselves. If you're in a town or an outpost, that you're never going to be able to stop it. You just got to turn off local.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's even worse in, like, other games. Like, the stuff I've seen here is pretty tame. When you get into games like Counter-Strike or Battlefield, and, like, say you get on a TeamSpeak channel with them, or, like, even in Counter-Strike, they have so many things that are 10 million times worse with, like, pictures and stuff they put into the game. It's just mind-boggling. It's crazy.
Some of the things that people have done, I've seen a lot of videos on, like, YouTube and places like that. There's one that is fairly new where it's a World of Warcraft one where somebody ganks somebody's boots or something like that, it was a drop, and they took it, and the people are just screaming and yelling, and I watch this stuff, and I'm just surprised that, well, not surprised, but it just baffles me that people get so into it, you know, and they get so crazy about it. And I don't know if you guys ever saw, but a while back, there was something, I don't know if it was real or fake or whatever, but in World of Warcraft, somebody actually died in real life, and they had a funeral for him in World of Warcraft. And during this funeral, another guild came in and started just killing all the people at the funeral. And I'm thinking, would anybody do that in Guild Wars? I mean, you can't do it in Guild Wars because of the way the servers are set up.
That's messed up.
I don't know. It's just crazy. The levels people go to sometimes to be obnoxious.
I don't know. I've never seen that happen before because I've done something like that before where I held a ceremony in a chat setting that was open for people to come into, and people knew that you were to be respectful. I mean, that's not something you mess around with.
No, that is really messed up. Like, if they were doing something like that, you're not affecting anything in-game anymore. It's not like somebody did something in-game with, like, a story thing, and you're poking fun at that. You're poking fun at a real person. Like, that's messed up.
Yeah, I think that was an extreme case. Yeah.
See, I just remember all the videos of Leroy Jenkins and thinking to myself, like, nobody would get as mad at Guild Wars because it'd be so much easier.
All right, so I got an email about 20 minutes ago, actually, which is funny, and I read over it really quickly while we were talking, but as you know, I can't do two things at once, so I'm going to read it now. He says, "Hey, Sean, I just recently bought Guild Wars, and I found your podcast. Great game and a great podcast. Keep up the great work. Simple question. As I mentioned, I'm very new to the game, and I'm totally lost. I see all the great armor, wonderful weapons, and I'm sitting around with a starter weapon and very noob armor. I see that you can trade items to collectors to get better things and make new armor and weapons at vendors, but I'm so lost. I forget where the collector is. I can't remember where I need to trade to a vendor for a better weapon. I'm so lost. Should I just relax, learn where everything is, and how to play my character, and the goodies will come later? I guess I'm looking for a little advice. You have obviously been playing a long time, and I know the game. Where did you learn everything? Online questions, message boards, books? Sorry for sounding so noob, but, well, I am. Thanks again for the help, and keep those episodes coming, Rich."
Well, if you want to, you can go on to the Guild Wiki, but, or the whatever it's called, the Guild Wars Wiki, but what I did when I was first playing was every time I came across a collector, I would look and see what they had. And if it had, like, new boots, I would say, oh, good. I would write down on a piece of paper where that collector was and what they took. So then I could start collecting that thing.
Yeah, take good notes. That's exactly.
And I could just go back to it later. But if you write down, you know, something about it as you find out about it, then yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I first started, I didn't know where anything was. I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't start looking on the message boards until much later, where, I didn't even read the books. I read the, mm-hmm. The instruction manual a little bit. I glanced through it and everything, but I didn't know, the storyline. I didn't know any of that stuff until much later. And I just did exactly like you said, where you go around, you talk to every NPC you see, and you write down, who they are, what they have, things like that. A lot of times you can ask questions in towns if you're, if you're brave enough, you can ask a question about where a certain collector is for, say you've got the complete set, but you don't have the boots. Well, you can ask someone in game right there, and they'll point you to it.
Yeah. You could say, hey, does anybody know where I can get collector boots? And then usually people are pretty nice and will point you in the direction.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll take people if I have the time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people. I still remember when I first started, there was a person that took me around and showed me a bunch of stuff, and I don't remember that person's name, but that helped me out a lot. So other players helping you out is a huge thing.
See, that's why it strikes me odd when people would ever say they would start playing the game from the get-go with pickup groups. With henchies, because I think it's much more beneficial to play with, players. And again, what I was going to say before that came in my head was, if you can find a guild that's open to just talking, all the time, on TeamSpeak or on Vent or even Guild Chat or whatever, and just to, kind of get into that guild and, start talking to them, it's a much more open environment, say, if you're too scared to just ask in local chat because of Flame War starting up or whatever. If you're in a guild and you say, hey, I'm new and I need help with this or I need help with this, they're much obliged to help you, because if they help you in the guild, that's one better guild member.
Yeah, a good guild goes a long way.
I've got one where a guy named James asked, he plays in some other continent than us, so he says, obviously I can't get onto the American districts, but he would like to be able to meet us if we're doing a contest or something in the international districts. Do we still do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And he says, incidentally, I have a keen interest in games in general and am a distinctly former World of Warcraft player. How long have you played Guild Wars, and how long do you see it holding its appeal to you personally?
Good question.
You guys really seem dedicated to your podcast, etc., and I'm interested as to what keeps you going back.
Friends. That's the easiest thing I can say is friends.
Yeah, I think that's...
That is a big selling point on it, because, for instance, I've got a guildie who, he's not playing very much at all, but he'll come on to socialize with us, or come play a couple of alliance battles with us, but he's not really playing Guild Wars as much. How about you, Sean?
Well, I think I tend to dedicate myself to one game and just, go all out, but it also ends up usually inevitably burning myself out on it. But with Guild Wars, it hasn't really happened yet, and I think, honestly, a lot of that has to do with the podcast. It's kind of like I started playing, I got into it, and then I did the podcast, and the podcast is like a little life preserver, keeping me into the game enough to where I go back, and it's not like I'm getting bored with the game, but I keep going back enough to find new things about it that I might not have found before, doing research for the show and mm-hmm. things like that. And at one point, I actually wrote a list of the things I want to accomplish with Guild Wars. I want to get this character here. I want to get this character here. I want to do this. Just Solera was saying about his little goals and everything. And I kind of have the same thing with my little goals. And a lot of times, it doesn't always work out, or I'll change goals or something like that. But that, paired with the socialization aspect of it, mm-hmm. is probably the main two things.
I always find something to entertain myself. I took my second account, and I went to the guild registrar and made, five different guilds just for fun with amusing names and screenshotted them.
Now, I've been bored.
It was like 100 gold for each one, so... it was hilarious. It totally amused me. And, I don't know. Like, I'll join groups and just say random funny things to entertain myself. Like, I'll join an alliance battle, and while we're sitting for, like, the first 45 seconds waiting for it to start, I'll say in local chat something like, looking for group mission plus bonus, and, like, sometimes people laugh. I get an email from KX from Hong Kong, and he sent me this email that was, it actually discussed another issue, but the first line was funny. He said, as a full-blooded Asian male who grew up in the West, I have to say half-Asian females are far more attractive than any leggy blonde cheerleaders.
In the PC Gamer article, they name all the new heroes that you can take along with you. I guess they're calling them heroes now, I guess, instead of henchies. But, I have it right here. I don't know where that page is, but they actually have quite a bit about Nightfall in here. But they name all the heroes, the new heroes, and they go over kind of their storyline and what they're about. Pretty interesting.
Ooh, they have storylines again? Like Menlo and Devona and all that?
Yeah, oh, here we go.
That's awesome.
There's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 of them. Like here, I'll take the first one for example. Koss, K-O-S-S, a cheerful, boisterous fellow, Sunspear. Koss has almost as much faith in you as he does in himself.
That sounds like Loudon Swain.
Sorry, that was not the first thing I thought of when,
Wow.
No, sorry. I was laughing. I had to turn my mic off.
Oh, okay.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. That does not sound like Loudon at all. So anyway, tell us something about these heroes, because I haven't read any of the, article.
Okay, it says the name of the little section here is called Hero Worship, and it says, meet the hero characters who will become your best buds in Guild Wars Nightfall. And then it names each one. And, like another one here, I'm just going to pick one. Margaret the Sly, a mercenary corsair, Margaret sees you first as potential targets and only later as allies.
Okay. That's the classic, the girl fights with the guy, and then through their strife together, they fall in love.
Yeah, one of those. Acolyte Jin, a quiet, deadly member of the Zacian Order. Jin seeks a suitable teacher. Master of Whispers, that sounds kind of cool. The master is a man of mystery, his true name unspoken, his motives unrevealed. You, however, are instrumental to his plans. So it makes it sound like they're not there as hired mercenaries like the henchmen. They're just kind of putting up with you, I guess, to work towards the same goal or something, you know.
And see, that could be, that plays in part to the kind of story teasers they've had so far, where it's been like they don't need a leader or they don't need a hero to save them. They need a hero to guide them, like they said. That way, where it's like you're helping these people, you're not the one that's doing all the work, you're helping them achieve a goal.
That's kind of interesting that they call them heroes too, because in fantasy type games, you are always the hero. The NPCs are not the heroes, you know?
Here's another little section I just found. Seems to tell a little bit more about them. Let's see. It says, even more intriguing is the company's plan to introduce hero characters into the world, sort of like Uber henchmen. These AI-controlled NPCs will stay by your side once found through questing. The first will be unlocked by the time you've cleared Istin. I guess Istin is the land.
Is that like the new area?
Yeah. And it'll play an integral part of Nightfall's grand storyline. 12 different heroes are available. Although you'll have to choose between heroes to befriend at the end of certain quests, so not all will be accessible to the same character. That's interesting.
Ooh. Huh.
Unlike henchmen, you'll be able to upgrade a hero's skills, armor, and weapons over time. even giving them secondary professions if you wish. Different weapon and armor templates can even be configured for your heroes. Up to 3 heroes can join you on a quest at one time. In most cases, you'll be able to choose which ones are in your party. However, certain quests will require a particular hero for story purposes. Think of them as sidekicks with distinct personalities. Characters do fall and redeem themselves, says Grubb. They learn and grow.
Can they be resurrected after they die?
Doesn't say, but I don't see it, but I'm sure they... Yeah, I would think that they do.
Actually, this is sounding really good, because, for instance, Battle.net in Diablo 2, when they first made it so that your mercenary could be, you could equip them with whatever armor and weapons you wanted, that was like a huge gameplay change. And this sounds pretty similar, and you could also give them different skills that you want. I really like that they're taking their knowledge of what worked well and incorporating what does work in Guild Wars and drawing on their old experiences.
Oh, don't put that in the show, just in case somebody important listens to that. Yes, I can talk a lot, I know.
I was going to say something smart, but I decided not to. I don't have any beer, though.
Yep, highly professional.
Does he have a second account?
No, all he plays is Monk.
Oh yeah, he wouldn't need a second account. Hey, we have favor. Sorry, I got excited there for a second.
Oh, are you playing right now?
Yeah, I've been playing for the past, like, half hour. It was all these things, like, oh crap. It was
Did
all
you just
things.
Let your monk die or something?
No, I died. Well, that's a blooper. Oh, crap.
I am so confused.
I already sang NKOTB. I don't think I'm going to be singing any Spice Bro.
I saw Tron at the drive-in when it came out. That's how old I am.
And I said, you know, next time, watch your mouth before you call me a liar.
Check you later.